Dear friends, welcome to the service tonight. My name is Robert Arrington. I am a seminary student like Peter, doing my field education here at Broad Street. This is my final Sunday, and I get the joy of preaching before you tonight. I've been here for about 10 weeks. It has been a blast. Thank you, Andy, for everything. I want to thank you all for being so gracious and accommodating to me. This is truly a unique place here, and I've really enjoyed my time. I love what you're doing here. You really do bring hope to this community, and I'm really grateful to be a part of that. The story we have here tonight of the Good Samaritan is a story about people in need. And because we as people have many needs throughout our daily lives, anyone can relate to this story in some way. Just to physically survive, we need air to breathe. We need food to eat and water to drink. We need sleep to function. We need shelter. We need stable, loving relationships to be emotionally healthy. We need medicine when we get sick. Many of us probably even feel like we can't live without our cell phones. Either way, the list of needs each of us have can go on and on. And because we live in a world with people all around us, needs are also all around us. So the basic premise of this story is simple. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. The golden rule, we all know it. It's probably a good rule to live by. It's a rule based on reciprocity and empathy. In other words, try to put yourself in the shoes of the other person, empathize with the situation he or she is in, and act in the way you would want to be treated. Something about this is fundamental to humanity. Variations of the golden rule are found in virtually every faith tradition. It's in the Hebrew scripture, Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbor as yourself, which the lawyer directly quotes here in Luke. It's in the story of Ruth not abandoning her mother-in-law even when her husband and sons die. It's in the story of Joseph refusing to go to bed with Potiphar's wife. It's in Islam in the Quran. It's in Buddhism found in the words of the Buddha. He says, on traversing all directions with the mind, one finds no one dearer than oneself. Likewise, everyone holds himself or herself most dear. Hence, one who loves himself should not harm another. And because they also believe in the process of reincarnation, they believe that any person one meets might have been a close friend or relative, or might be, in a future life, a close friend or relative. For them, this encourages compassion and reciprocity even more. So there's something about this story of the Good Samaritan that is particular to its context. But there's also a part of it that is so general that every human being can grasp it. It's as if there's something built deep inside of us that understands the importance of helping others and receiving help from others that allows us to survive and to thrive. I mean, this is really natural, right? Reciprocity comes really easily for those whom we love and we care about. We naturally empathize with those people, and we try to have their best interests at mind. And yet the most fascinating thing about this story is that the lawyer, the one who asked Jesus how to inherit eternal life, he asked the question, who is my neighbor? I mean, that's the big question here, right? What constitutes my neighbor? That's the point of this story. The lawyer wants to know the scope of his love. He knows it's easy to love those who he cares about. He wants to know how far he has to go in that love to get eternal life. He wants to know how hard he has to work to fulfill what's written in the law. And that's why Jesus sets up this hypothetical story of a man on the road to Jericho. His hearers would have known about this road. It's particularly windy and dangerous, that it would be easy for thieves to hide and to ambush people. But this isn't the surprising thing about this story. And maybe it's not even surprising that the priest and the Levite passed by this man. Maybe people understood why they would pass by him without helping. Maybe they had somewhere to be. Maybe they thought he was dead and could not approach him due to their ceremonial laws. Regardless of their reasoning, the surprising thing about this story is that it is a Samaritan who stops to help. Now, Samaritans were a people group that the Jewish people did not associate with. They had a slightly different adherence to Judaism and a partly pagan ancestry, so they were looked down upon by the Jews. Jews thought Samaritans were practicing their faith wrongly, that they weren't holding to the right beliefs. They allowed pagan influences to corrupt them. So the best part of this story is that Jesus is absolutely subverting the religious structure of the Jewish society. What one would expect is now the opposite. Jesus turns the picture of religious devotion on its head. You have the ones who are supposed to be the religious examples, the priest and the Levite, the ones who know the Jewish law most closely and have a heritage of assisting the priests in the worship of the temple. These people are the ones you expect to have the most religious devotion. They are supposed to be doing what is right. I mean, they are the religious leaders, after all. And instead, with the way the story unfolds, they are morally deficient, held back by their comfort, their customs, their laws, their whatever. The ones we expect to do the right thing, to do what God would want them to do, end up doing the wrong thing. And the one we expect to do the wrong thing, to not be following God closely, to not have the right beliefs, he does the right thing. He practices the command to love your neighbor as yourself. His attitude was in the right. He understood what it would be like to be the man on the side of the road, half dead. He was moved with pity. This puts into perspective what it means to have religious knowledge and religious heritage, and what it means to have religious devotion. This draws a line between them and shows that religious devotion does not always flow out of religious knowledge of the priest and the religious heritage of the Levite. Still, the question of who is my neighbor is a big one and is relevant for us today. Because there is so much hurt and pain in the world, because there are so many people like the man half dead in the ditch on the side of the road, because there are so many people all around us in need, it's very easy to respond in one of two extremes. Either we go all in and try to help everyone as much as we possibly can and end up killing ourselves doing it, or we give up and say to ourselves something like, there are far too many people to help that are in need. I wouldn't even make a difference. It's not worth doing because I wouldn't be able to change much. Both of these extremes are unhealthy ways of looking at it. A better way is probably somewhere between the two. The interesting thing about the Good Samaritan is that the story does not depict him as going on the road to Jericho looking for people to help. He's not there on a mission trip to help people who may be in need. No, the story shows that he's just traveling and then comes across this beaten man. In this moment, the Good Samaritan decides to help. In the same way, we don't have to go out of our way to find people in need, but when we come across people who could use our help, we should be willing. 2 weeks ago, I was on my way home from Broad Street after church, and I came across a really bad accident on 95. At first, I wasn't really sure what was going on, because it seemed to have been pretty soon when I got there. Right before I pulled up next to it, a couple emergency vehicles came whirling by. And as I came up next to it, I was wondering what I should do. I wasn't sure if I should get out and help in any way I could. I wasn't sure if there was something I should be doing. I felt a fear surround me because I was afraid to get out since the situation was so intense. And yet something inside me wanted to help my fellow human being. But when I got there, two things struck me. First, I saw about 15 cars parked along the side of the road. Before I got next to them, I just thought they were in line trying to get around the debris. But then I saw why they were parked. About 20 people were helping the people who were in the accident, pulling them out of cars and making sure they were okay. It was absolutely incredible. And second, I felt relieved because I knew I didn't have to stop and get out and help. The people who arrived before me had this. They were taking care of it. I would probably have just gotten in their way. Had I gotten there sooner? Yes, I probably should have helped. They probably would have needed me. But the people who had gotten there before me had stepped up and did as the Good Samaritan would have. And that was enough. So maybe now, or in this coming week, we should all take spiritual stock. Do you lean more toward the all-in approach to helping everyone you possibly can, to the detriment of your own well-being? For you, helping people becomes a strain on your own person. Notice what the command is here. It is to love your neighbor as yourself. That means taking care of yourself too, and protecting your own well-being just like others. Or do you lean more towards the all-out approach that either doesn't want to get involved because you feel like it won't make a difference or because you want to protect your own well-being a little too much? If you feel that you can't make a difference because there are so many people in need, you need a shift in perspective. Just look at the Good Samaritan who helped just one person. He made a huge difference in that person's life. He saved it. And that man will never forget that moment. He will probably go on to help other people, which would not have happened without the Samaritan's help. Kindness is contagious. However, maybe you lean towards the all-out approach because you're trying to protect your well-being a little too much. Maybe you're a little too much like the priest and the Levite who avoided the man because they built up barriers to protect themselves and prevent themselves from feeling bad about not helping. Whichever extreme you lean toward, the Good Samaritan provides for us an example of the right attitude to have. He offers a balance between the two extremes of all in and all out. His priorities are in the right place because he was accessible when people needed him. He shows us what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. May we all heed the words of Jesus, go and do likewise. Amen.